everyone, to Selling to Schools Radio. I'm really glad you're taking time to listen to this program. My name is Glenn McCandless. I'm your host for this radio channel, and I'm also the editor for SellingToSchools.com. You know, my goal is to provide you with the best advice for how you can bring innovation into our classrooms and improve our schools. And speaking of school improvement, today we're going to be focusing on a hot topic that's affecting everyone who sells any product or service to the schools. It's the attention being given to career readiness and preparing students to get good jobs that power our workforce. You know, new curriculum standards, as you guys know, it's making it clear that this must be our highest priority. And money is flowing into products and initiatives to make this happen. And that's money that might be flowing into your pocket. And on the front lines are researchers and consultants at the Southern Region Education Board, that's SREB. You may know they provide a range of services to school districts and states across the country that are targeting improvements in our schools, and they're helping better prepare students for career success and to make connections to jobs that are in high demand. So, to unpack this topic of workforce development and economic vitality and what the developer community can do, I have a special guest. It's Dr. Eugene Bottoms, the Senior Vice President of SREB. Gene's been dedicated for most of his life to improving our schools and driving policies and working with educational leaders at the state and district level, and also with suppliers and developers of instructional solutions to do just that. Gene, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Glenn, for having me on the program this morning.
It's really great to have you here, Gene. I've followed the work of SREB for many years, and I know so many great, fine people there who work for your organization. I know our audience will be very interested in your perspective on this important topic. So my first question for you is this, Gene. Why has SREB made workforce development and career readiness a priority for its work with states and districts?
One of the reasons that we've made this a priority, we have a tremendous mismatch in most of our 16 SREB states. We have jobs, high-skilled, high-wage jobs, but we do not have people developed for those jobs. So we have too many people who are being prepared for 35% of the low-performing jobs and too few people preparing for two-thirds of the jobs that are going to require some preparation, some specialized skills beyond high school. Our basic mission is to improve. One of the basic missions is to advance the economic welfare of the region, and one way we can do that is having an educational system that literally prepares folks for the opportunities emerging in the 16 SREB states.
Well, that sounds like a great priority to have. And if we look back, Gene, on our own experience getting through the school system, and we both got through it, and we also know lots of people who've been through it, we certainly haven't done a great job in that area, and you've recognized that. Do you think the attention that SREB is putting on this, preparing students to enter careers and access our workforce and the feds and just about everybody else, do you think that that's politically driven? Is it possible that this interest in this area could be replaced by some other priority, or that maybe we'll revert to focusing on having students take multiple choice tests and memorize a bunch of facts?
Well, I think this interest in workforce development, career readiness, is partially politically driven because most governors and state policymakers are being hit hard by industry and business leaders because they cannot find the people with the skill sets that are needed today. So that's in parts what's driving this whole effort.
Yep, I get it. So with an election coming up, Gene, is it possible that we get a new administration at the federal level, or maybe at state levels, and they come in and they say, you know what, this is a bunch of nonsense. We need to get back to the basics. We need to have our kids memorizing the capital of Kansas. We need to get kids learning math formulas. What we've done in the past that you might call content-driven teaching.
Glenn, yesterday's vocational programs will not meet the needs of today's workforce. At SREB, for more than two decades, we've recognized this. And what we really strive for is a much more intellectually demanding kind of career and technical programs, one that's blended with a solid academic core. The foundational learning skills of literacy and mathematics are still essential. And you blend that with a kind of instruction that you create assignments and skills for students that require them to have to draw on their academic skills to do the kind of work they're going to do in the workplace. So we think that part of what we're about is preparing you for a double purpose, both for a career and with the ability to continue to do advanced studies, because more and more of the jobs are requiring some form of post-secondary education.
Well, I hear you, Gene. But let me ask you this. If you were a manager of a publishing company that has for decades, maybe hundreds of years, invested in developing textbooks and digital content that supported standardized testing, what would you be doing now to update those materials so that they would be more in line with the kind of program that you're talking about?
Well, one thing I would recommend in terms of the so-called academic core would be you would design textbooks that would build teachers' capacity into those textbooks of how to actually engage kids in reading grade-level text and demonstrate understanding of those texts and be able to express that understanding both orally and in writing. Many of our males in this information-centered economy simply are not acquiring the literacy skills that are necessary, and so we still teach as though kids can gain all this information and knowledge through teachers telling or through drill sheets. It's not going to happen. Employers will tell you that many of the folks they have applying for jobs simply cannot read the kind of technical materials that they understand it. Now, that's one bit. In the career field, I would suggest that publishers look at the kind of curriculum materials we've been developing. We're working in 8 broad career fields that states say are high demand, high skill wage fields in their states. For example, integrated production technology, which is kind of a manufacturing curriculum. But we've built that curriculum around projects. And projects require kids to research out the technical materials. Every project's got a math component. They have to learn how to work in teams. They solve problems. Students own the work, as one kid said in a renewable energy course when they designed and tested out a solar hot water heater. That project, their heater leaked like a sieve. But he says, I learned more by failing in this course than I do by passing in other courses. They need to develop material that helps teachers begin to engage kids in solving problems and taking ownership of their own learning.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, and it would be a real shift from what my experience was, and I'm sure yours was too, in school, Gene. I think about my schooling, and it was all about sitting quietly and seeing stuff presented and being expected to memorize a lot of things and respond to questions on multiple choice tests or filling in the blank. That's not at all what you're describing. So let me ask you a related question, Gene. How should publishers be shifting their conversations? And I'm really thinking about sales reps, since that's what I deal with a lot. A lot of people contact me looking for sales strategies and how to engage school administrators in discussions. What should the sales reps, what should the publisher reps be talking about with school administrators in light of all these shifts?
Well, let me take mathematics, for example. We've built a whole industry and a whole set of published materials around kind of drilling kids to be ready to pass an exam. They need to be creating assignments for students in math that require students to go through multiple steps to solve the problem. Many of these need to be conceptual-based, but many need to be applied-based. And they need to be talking to superintendents and chief academic officers. We need a kind of math materials that actually engages students in solving problems and figuring out what they do not understand, as opposed to materials that you drill them all day on a set of problems over and over. When kids are faced with real-world problems, they cannot apply the mathematics today. Pure procedural mathematics, the ability to reason, understand, and apply, are the new kind of materials that we need. If we're going to see, we perform very poorly compared to our international partners in mathematics. And part of it is that we teach math as a procedural set of procedural skills, not as a set of tools you reason, you have to understand, and you can apply in multiple ways.
Well, that's a great bit of advice for sure. And it's also a good segue to my next question. You know, I've been focusing my questions, Gene, on existing publishers, the big publishers that have dominated the development and sales of instructional materials in our schools for my entire life. And my questions so far have been about what the managers of those companies ought to be doing differently to adjust to this new environment that you're talking about. But there's another side of this, too, and that relates to startups. I think you know right now there's a lot of capital pouring into the edtech startup space. I work with a lot of startups to help them get into the marketplace and be successful. And there's a thinking that there's going to be a lot of disruption and reform in our education system, which we would welcome, of course. So what are the opportunities for a startup to offer a new product or a solution that would fill some of these gaps that you've identified, Gene? I mean, are there new products or services that could address some of these missing pieces?
Well, one that comes to mind, the whole career readiness piece, getting folks ready for a career and moving in that direction. Because of the scale, many publishers do not get into that space, just not enough volume there. So there's a real market of developing new kind of educational materials to prepare you for some of these new opportunities that are emerging. So that's one space I see. There's always space for well-developed electrical-based programs, web-based kind of programs that delivered through the web is another area where there's tremendous opportunity for good materials there, not another drill sheet on the web, but something that really engages students deeply in learning. And then the third area, the kind of redesigned courses based on the best that we know about how students learn. We have an awful lot of students who come into grade 9 who are not ready for grade 9 work, for example, in mathematics. How do you catch those students up with an approach that's different from the drill approach that you often see? Are that student who's wound up the senior year and is not ready for college, how do you help the parents avoid having to pay major costs, spend the first year in college taking remedial courses? How can you devise course materials that senior year? Now, both of these areas we've been playing around with and seeing what we could do in this area, but no publisher is involved in that space right now.
So, Gene, one of the missing pieces that I've become aware of through our conversations that you haven't mentioned so far is really at the core of the whole idea of career readiness. And students and those who advise them don't really seem to have a reliable way to know what students' natural born abilities and skills are and how that relates to instruction. I don't know how you could possibly create a personalized learning plan if you don't know that. There's a lot of good things going on with personalized learning. All that's really great, but really, I don't know how you could create an individual education plan for a student if you don't know what they're really good at. What are your thoughts on that?
Glenn, I couldn't agree with you more. We are working with a young startup company, YouScience, as they have developed an aptitude test that begins to get an interest, aptitudes, abilities, your educational achievement level. And it's really designed to help students to think about themselves and to think of and link their strengths and weaknesses to opportunities in the labor market. And it's a great tool to help students begin to set career goals that are realistic and to plan a program of studies towards that end. They are addressing a piece that's very much missing in high schools today.
Boy, I wish I'd had access to something like that when I was in high school, Gene. I spent about $3,000 with a career psychologist and a counselor when I was 40 years old. I was kind of in a midlife crisis. And I went through a series of tests and interviews with them to help me finally understand what I was really good at, and most importantly, what I would also find really rewarding in my work. So I really, really appreciate you telling me about YouScience. It sounds like a real breakthrough. And I really hope there's some people listening to us right now who are prepared to give you a call or to get in touch with me to discuss these opportunities. But you know, we're running short on time. So I just wanted to ask you about a conference that SREB is going to be hosting soon. It's a really great opportunity for our listeners, and they may not know about it. You have a workforce and career readiness conference that brings people together to discuss these issues we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes. And I understand that it's a great opportunity for publishers and developers to meet and talk with a lot of school administrators who are looking for good solutions and making decisions on buying those things. So what can you tell our listeners about that conference?
This summer, each year for the last almost 30 years, we've held a regional conference, somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 people in attendance, teachers, principals, school district leaders, built around improving middle grades in high school. This year it'll be in Louisville, Kentucky. We do have exhibitors. We welcome exhibitors. We also welcome exhibitors who we have a way they can present their products if it's a product that we feel has merit and is linked to our particular objectives. So So we would welcome any vendor who wants to talk to us about exhibiting at our summer conference that will be held the second week of July in Louisville, Kentucky at the Convention Center there.
Well, Gene, that sounds like a fantastic and a timely opportunity for our listeners, and a hot one for sure. I imagine Louisville is going to be a hot place in July. But for right now, Gene, I just really want to thank you for your time with me today. It's been great having you on this program, and I want to thank you for many, many years of great work with your outstanding team of researchers and policymakers and consultants who really care. That whole team at SREB is just amazing. And your work extends far beyond what we would call the Southern region, and in fact includes almost every state in the Union. And we thank you and applaud all that you're doing to advance career readiness and workforce development in this country. And we look forward to having you back on the program.
Thank you, Glenn.
I want to also thank you, our listeners, for being with us today, and to remind you to go to sellingtoschools.com to join the discussions on Selling to Schools LinkedIn and to tap into the resources on this radio program in our archives. It is just packed with valuable advice that you can't get anywhere else about how to engage with school administrators and buyers in our schools and to really make a difference. So I applaud your efforts as well. I thank you for being here and welcome you to come back to future programs.